Okay, thank you. Got to hear that this afternoon. That was great. She got a little nervous up there. You should have heard it this afternoon. Wow. Okay, turn your Bible to Hebrews chapter 4. Believe it or not, it's already 7:45 and haven't started preaching. No comment. Okay. I'll try not to lie, be short, okay? Hebrews chapter number 4. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain day of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, Psalm 95, today after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth, therefore, a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he has also ceased from his own works, as God did from his. We'll probably only get to talk about the four different kinds of rest here in Hebrews chapter number 4. We, of course, first of all, hear about Israel's rest. In chapter 3, so then we see they could not enter in. Verse 18, to whom he sware that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not. Israel's rest, that is used an example in chapter 3, is rest that was pictured by going into the promised land. And, of course, it was a picture of gaining their inheritance. We'll look maybe a couple of verses, Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 9. And as you think about that rest, it was very unique because they went into the land. They got houses they never built, vineyards they never planted, wells that they never dug. They went and conquered a land and under Joshua, and not one soldier lost his life. And, of course, Joshua was a picture of that, entering into that victory. They marched around the city. And as they shouted on the seventh day, the walls fell down. And here he's using this as a part of the subject of rest. Deuteronomy 12, verse 9, for ye are not as yet come to the rest and to the inheritance which the Lord your God giveth you. But when you go over to Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God giveth you to inherit, and when he giveth you rest from all your enemies round about, so that ye dwell safely, in safety. And so he used the example of Israel's rest, and this opportunity was given to Israel as they were brought out of Egypt. They came to Kadesh Barnea. They were offered the chance to go into the land and have victory, have the inheritance, rest from war. And the Bible says, but the word that was preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. And you know, it is presenting an important principle that truth is not merely an intellectual exercise. Truth is, and the reception of truth is as well a spiritual exercise. And they knew what God said, but when they were received that message, it was not mixed with faith in their hearts. And of course, the principle is still holding to all of God's people today, that the Word of God must be received with faith. And we're reminded of James, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. And of course, because why? God will not answer the prayer of a double-minded man. Faith is the willingness to obey, to trust God, to obey God, to do what He says. And so they could not enter into that rest because they did not mix that with faith. And of course, the implication is this book of Hebrews is going to require a response of faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And of course, the difference between doing something about what you hear and not doing something is faith. But, you know, on the personal level, what is faith? You know, on a personal level, faith has two ingredients. Faith has the truth, which can't be, will not produce any fruit unless it has mixed with faith. But on the other hand, a personal level, faith always involves being willing to pay the price. You know, when you witness to someone, most of the time they don't listen to what you have to say. And there's a reason. You know, it might well be that you're talking to them about the Lord, and they're not thinking about what you're saying. You know what they're thinking? They're thinking, hey, they don't drink alcohol. Or they don't do that. Or they don't do that. Or they do this. And people are always thinking what is going to cost them to listen to what you have to say. They're always thinking what it's going to cost them. Of course, the megachurch movement tells them there's nothing to pay. You can live as you want. And they like that message. I guess you have to ask, what's the faith there? I don't know. Certainly there isn't any message of repentance in their books. But that's Israel's rest. God rested. Genesis chapter 2. Thus the heaven and the earth were finished. And all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. A couple of interesting things about God's rest. You know, all the other days it says it was, and the evening and the morning were the first day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day. Doesn't say that, as far as I know, on the seventh day. Because God's been resting from creation ever since. But on the other hand, John chapter 5 tells us that God's rest is not a cessation of activity. He still holds the world together. John 5, verse 17. Verse 16. Therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Aren't you glad God answers prayer on the Lord's Day? Every day of the week. He says, "My Father worketh hitherto." Obviously, we recognize there's a difference in the Old Testament Sabbath, but here's creation rest. Book of Hebrews is mentioning that there is this rest is happening. Then it talks about a present rest. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 3, "For we which have believed do enter into rest." And of course, from a Jewish standpoint, he's trying to relate that in Jesus Christ there is rest. That the rest is found in Jesus Christ. And Psalm 95 talked about a rest that was available. It talked about that even Joshua going into the land of Palestine, hasn't really taken place. There's a rest that is available, and that rest is in Jesus Christ. And the rest that the Bible pictured in the Old Testament, that rest that David talked about in Psalm 95, that rest is available in Christ. And so he said right now that they that have believed do enter into rest. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, 28. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The present rest. The world that hates Christ, they want to avoid salvation. But the reality is they are laboring. They are burdened in the realm of sin. That's not rest. That's not rest. That's not glorious. That's not wonderful. As sin is very wearisome. Sin is very much a slave driver. Sin brings people into bondage. Sin makes people weary of the round of life. And Jesus said, come unto me and I will give you rest. And that rest is a picture in the Bible of a blessed fellowship with God. The blessedness of communion with God. The blessedness of salvation. And of course, all of these things, in a sense, this whole subject of rest is pointing and picturing in some way or another the ultimate rest, heaven. Heaven. The future Sabbath rest. There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. And heaven. And they only can get there through Jesus Christ. And I wonder what you would call hell. Where the fire is not quenched. And their worm dieth not. Quite a contrast, isn't it? Between the rest of the people of God and the torment and the turmoil, the agony of hell. And the people of God have a future rest. The Bible calls it a Sabbath rest. It's a different word than rest in the rest of the passages of Scripture. And those are the four rests. And so you're going from one to the other, to the other, to the other. So that's all the further we're going to get. I wonder, though, will you rest in heaven? Or will your soul, squirm under the fires of hell forever and ever and ever? Because you refused Jesus Christ. You are like the Israelites. You say, boy, that's going to cost me something. That's going to cost me something. Not willing to trust God with your life or your soul, your sin. Couldn't trust God. Had to hang on to yourself. And they missed it all because of their lack of faith, their lack of ability to trust God with their lives. And we still have that problem today. We still have a problem today. People have this tremendous inability to trust their lives to God. They want to hang on to their way, their life, their lifestyle, trying to hang on to sin. And they can't give it up. They can't trust God with their sin. They can't trust God with their soul. They can't trust Him with their life. They can't handle that moment of, in one sense of the word, of being out of control and turning to the Lord. But rest is for the people of God. And if you're saved, you know a little bit about that rest right now. And in the future, there will be an eternity of rest in the glorious presence of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And thank you, Lord, that we can be reminded that it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ that there is rest. And that, Lord, we today are faced with that choice of what we will do with Jesus Christ. And there are some, Lord, that are here tonight and they have not really settled that. There are some here tonight.